Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Jazakumullahu khair, and thank you for joining us for our daily reflection on verses of the Quran that discuss a personality or a part of our character that we need to focus on to become better Muslims, acting, following the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and living as he lived, embodying his character within our actions. Today, inshallah, brothers and sisters, I'm going to be speaking to you about another quality that is emphasized throughout Islam, throughout the hadith of the Prophet, the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This concept of haya is mentioned many times. The verse I would like to focus on for today's discussion is a verse in Suratul Ahzab. Suratul Ahzab, verse number 53. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse specifically speaking about a characteristic of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's look at the verse first, and then we'll look at some ahadith that talk about this quality, and then talk about this from a practical perspective, inshallah ta'ala. The verse number 53, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan nabi illa an yu'dhana lakum ila ta'amin ghayra nadhinina ina. ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث إن ذلك كان يؤذي النبي فيستحيي منكم والله لا يستحيي من الحق الآية. This verse had a specific situation which it was revealed regarding. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had invited people to his house, and they came to his house to eat food and to be a part of his Walima when he got married. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of course happy to have guests come over and to entertain them and host them for this happy occasion. But what happened is that some of these guests became very, very comfortable. And they started to extend their welcome and stay and just sit down, and they were talking well into the night, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was getting tired, and the night was going further and further, and he kind of wanted to end this gathering. Many of the other Sahaba had already realized that, okay, it's time to go home now. They got the clues and it's time to go home. The party is over, so to speak. But some of them, they didn't realize. And they sat talking for some time, to the point where the Prophet got up. He left thinking that maybe they'll get the clue if I leave the house. But when he came back, they were still there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why didn't the Prophet just say it to them? Why didn't the Prophet just say to them, hey, I think it's time for you to go now? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that إِنَّ ذَلِكَ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِي فَيَسْتَحْيِي مِنْكُمْ. Indeed, those actions that you have done, they were hurting and causing difficulty to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but فَيَسْتَحْيِي مِنْكُمْ. He is shy. He is shy to mention it to you. When we study the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that his character was one that he was extremely shy person. And the quality of shamefulness was something that was within his entire life. And so I wanted to highlight a few of the hadith that talk about this quality of haya, because sometimes it's translated as modesty. Sometimes it's translated as shamefulness. It has a few different translations. And I'm going to actually break it down into three different levels of haya. And then we can talk about healthy haya, healthy shame, versus a not so healthy type of shame. There's one hadith in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaking about the primacy and the importance of haya in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna li kulli deen khuluqan." Every deen, every religion has a quintessential characteristic or quality, khuluq, attribute of character. Wa khuluqul Islam al-haya. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the quality, the defining quality of Islam is haya, this concept of haya, shame or modesty. In another hadith, which more explicitly kind of breaks down what haya actually is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, استحيوا من الله حق الحياة, that have, be shameful before Allah, حق الحياة, as His Majesty deserves, as his is His right to be shameful before. قال قلنا يا رسول الله إنا نستحي والحمد لله. The Sahaba, they said, Ya Rasulullah, Alhamdulillah, we have haya, we have haya, we have this quality within us. Walhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. قال ليس ذلك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, No, what you're thinking is not what I'm referring to. ولكن الاستحياء min Allah haqq al-haya, to have true haya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves. And tahfadh al-ra's wa ma wa'a, is that you protect the mind and what it contains. Wal batn wa ma hawa, and the stomach and what it has inside of it. Wa litadhakkir al-maut wal bala, and that you remember your mortality, that you're going to pass away, you're going to leave. Wa man arad al-akhirah taraka zinat ad-dunya, whoever wants akhirah, they leave the world behind. فَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ, whoever has done these things that I have just mentioned, that person has had haya before Allah as Allah deserves. So brothers and sisters, I want to share with you, Imam Mawardiyu, he has a book called Adab al-Din wa Dunya, in which he talks about different characteristics that are important to have for one's deen and in the dunya as well. And he talks about haya, of course, in there. And he says that haya can be placed on three levels. And this is going to really define that word. Up till now, I haven't really used the translation of it, because every translation kind of pulls you in a different direction. But when I break down haya and we truly understand, we'll kind of be able to, you know, understand it in our hearts, even if we don't translate it the same in all contexts. Imam Mawardiyu, he says that the first level of haya is just haya before Allah. Haya before Allah. And this is what we just saw in the hadith that I just read to us. That we feel bad when we're doing something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. We feel bad knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw us disobeying Him. Or we feel bad when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we weren't where we were supposed to be, right? This feeling that we have inside, before Allah, that is that haya. That is the haya between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should all work to develop this concept of being aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. And when I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me, how shameful I feel to be caught in certain circumstances or not be at other places. That's the first level of haya that we want to build within ourselves. And that's based on an awareness that Allah is watching. That's based on an awareness that there's nowhere I can go except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what I'm doing. And this has a major effect on behavior modification. This concept that Allah is raqib, or constantly watching, is supported by so many studies. Just the presence of a camera, the presence of a camera can change so much behavior in a room or on a public street, for example, even if the camera isn't even recording. This is because when we know someone is watching, then we almost intuitively kind of alter our behavior somewhat. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ spoke about, is the level of ihsan, which is أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهُ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. You worship Allah as if you see Him. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. If you can't be at that level, then at least you know that He's constantly sees you. So this is the first level of haya, haya before Allah. Second level. The second level of haya is very similar to the first one, but it's called haya fin nafs. This is haya before your own self, where we start to feel that I have let myself down, that I have standards that I wanted to hold to and I haven't been able to keep up to those standards. And so now I feel that I let myself down. I didn't quite do what I was supposed to do. Now, the Quran speaks about different types of selves. We have three different types of selves mentioned in the Quran. We have the nafs ammara bissu. This is the self that just always tells us to do evil. It never wants to do good. It always wants to do bad. Obviously, we'll never feel haya if we have that level of the self, because there's nothing to feel ashamed about. This nafs wants to do everything. The highest level is nafs al-mutama'inna. This is the nafs that always wants to do good. It's always asking us to do righteous deeds, good deeds. And the middle one. This is where haya truly comes out within ourselves. This is nafs lawama. This is the nafs that feels bad about the wrong that it does. And it feels bad before itself that, why did we do that? We shouldn't have done that. Why didn't I pray? Why didn't I do this? Why did I do this sin? That's nafs lawama. And this is where we see haya within our own selves. Now I'm going to shift to another type of haya, which is kind of evident in this verse that we talked about, which is the type of haya before people, or a shame before people. Now, shame by itself has been, you know, is almost seen as a negative word, especially in the context that we live in. Our context is that, you know, be true to yourself, you know, speak your truth, you know, you don't have to conform to anyone's ideals. You just have to be yourself, be who you are. That's the type of mantra that we hear in our society. Speak your truth, which we don't say. We say speak the truth of Allah, but not speak my truth. But everyone is told to speak your truth. And with that type of ideology, what happens is that we're taught to never be ashamed of who you are. And I want to talk about that for a moment. So for many people, the Muslim community can sometimes feel as if it's suffocating due to the collective ethos and the social policing that happens in the community. And this is why we kind of get this idea that, you know what, I don't need to be ashamed before anyone. No one can judge me. I am my own judge. Allah is my own judge. It's kind of like the annoying lane departure system in your car that you turn off because it's getting in the way too much when you're trying to drive. That's how restricting the community can feel many times. But is the feeling of shame a good or a bad feeling? Well, it depends. There's something you have to ask yourself. And I'm going to give you an example. Let's pretend you're on you play a sport on a team. Let's say football, for example, American football. You play American football and you play American football. And if you know a bit about football, you're not supposed to fumble the ball. Fumbling the ball means you drop the ball and the other team gets the ball. And that's a big mistake. So let's pretend you're on this team. You have the ball. You're running with the ball and you fumble the ball and the other team gets the ball. And not only that, they get the ball and they score a touchdown. Now, I have a question. When you walk back to the sideline, would you hold your head up high, proud of what you just did? Or would you hang your head low, having a bit of shame that you made a mistake? Well, it depends, because you understand that as a team, we have a collective understanding of what is good. We have an understanding and an expectation from one another. And so if you fumble the ball, you've kind of let down the rest of the team. And if on top of that, you're proud of fumbling the ball, then you might not be on the team for very long because we're wondering, why are you on the team if you don't share the same ideals of what's good and what's bad? And so the next week, you're going to try harder and harder so that you never fumble the ball. Why? Because you don't want to let yourself down, but even more so because you share ideals with those people on the team and you don't want to let them down. Now, I know this is a kind of a weird example, but in many ways, it tells us the type of good shame that we can use in our lives. What do I mean by that? Well, whenever I do an action, sometimes I ask myself, what would my family think about this action? What would my students think about this action? Or what would my teachers think about this action? If I'm confused on whether I should do it or not, I immediately think to one of my teachers, shake such and such, or one of my students, such and such student. I wonder what they would think if they saw me doing this action. And I'm immediately able to say, you know what? I should do this or I shouldn't do this. Now, this can have, there is a type of social or public shame that can be negative as well. Let's say I'm at an airport. I'm at the airport and it's time to pray. And I have plenty of time. I find a corner, but I'm a bit ashamed to pray here. Why am I ashamed to pray? Well, all of these people are going to judge me. But here's the question. Do these people say share the same ideals that I have regarding worship of Allah? Do they have the same ideals that I have regarding the importance of prayer? Well, maybe they don't, maybe they do, but I will not empower anyone to shame me who doesn't hold the same ideals that I hold as part of my identity. And this is what I wanted to focus on, brothers and sisters, is that Haya, the Prophet ﷺ had this beautiful quality where he didn't even want to speak up because he didn't want to say something that would kind of like trouble someone else. So he just stayed quiet. And the verses were revealed regarding that Haya. Uthman bin Affan, same, is described that he, radiallahu anh, was one of the people that had the most Haya. And I'll give you another example from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. There's an example where the Prophet ﷺ was sitting down, and I have to paraphrase for the sake of time. The Prophet was sitting down by himself, and he's sitting in a way where his lap is a bit uncovered. So his legs are covered by pants, but his top shirt is kind of lifted up a bit. So you can see his legs, but the legs are still covered, but his shirt isn't covering them. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anh comes to the door and he wants to enter. And someone says, Ya Rasulullah, Abu Bakr is there and he would like to enter. And so the Prophet stays just as he was. He didn't move at all. And he said, okay, let him come. And Abu Bakr is there with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A little while later, Umar bin Khattab came and knocked at the door. Someone said, Ya Rasulullah, Umar bin Khattab is here. He'd like to enter. The Prophet said, yes, let him come in. The Prophet stayed in the same way that he was sitting with his shirt kind of up and he's just relaxing. And then a little while later, Uthman bin Affan came. He knocked at the door and someone said, Ya Rasulullah, Uthman bin Affan is here. He'd like to come in. And the Prophet ﷺ sat up. He fixed his clothes. He covered his legs and he said, okay, let him in. And Abu Bakr and Umar are surprised. They're like, whoa, he didn't do this for us. Why did they said, Ya Rasulullah? And he said, why would I not have haya in front of the person who even the angels have haya before? It's just an amazing hadith about the level of haya of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. So what is haya? Well, there's haya before Allah. That I am ashamed that Allah, I'm not doing what pleases Allah. I am ashamed of that. And that's haya before Allah. What is haya? Another level, haya in my own self that I feel in my nafs, astaghfirullah, Mikael. How could you let yourself do that? And then there's a collective haya. There's a collective haya, which you have to value, but also be particular about who you allow to shame you. And the community that you share identity with, that you share collective identity with, like my football team, what they think about me helps me be true to who I want to be. what they think about me helps me remain true to the ideals that I myself want to achieve and reach. Brothers and sisters, Ramadan is coming closer to an end. We are in the blessed days of the blessed month of Ramadan. It is a time of giving. It is a time of repentance. It is a time of mercy. So reach out to the organizations that help other people. Helping Hand Relief and Development is an amazing organization that you can send your money to and know that it's going to better another person around the world. It will better the quality of life for someone else. I'm going to end with one hadith about haya. The haya hadith I want to share with you has to do directly with Ramadan. The Prophet ﷺ, in one narration, he said that Allah is ashamed when a servant raises his or her hands and asks, Allah is ashamed to let those hands go down empty. Allah is ashamed to let those hands go down empty. It means Allah is listening, Allah is hearing, and Allah is answering our du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your family in these final days of Ramadan. Thank you very much for your time. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.